daf is daf tzadi dal. So let's pick up from the bottom of tzadi gimel merbeis. The Mishnah begins, Chomer b'smicha, there's a certain stringency mibif tenufa. We learned the other day, yesterday, that smicha and tenufa are very similar, but there are also differences between the two of them. So Chomer b'smicha b'tenufa and tenufa b'smicha, they're things that each one have a stringency over the other. She'echad meinif when it comes to tenufa, one person, it's sufficient for one person to do a tenufa for everyone else. But in terms of smicha, if you have a carbon brought by many people, so one smicha by one person is not sufficient. Each person needs to do smicha independently. So when it comes to the tenufa, the stringency that tenufa is that tenufa is no hages b'karbanos hayachad v'karbanos hatzibor b'chaim u'b'shchutim b'darashish b'ruchayim b'darashim b'ruchayim. Tenufa applies to every possible scenario: carbon tzibor, carbon yachad, alive, shechted, and something that has considered a davar chaim, something that's not considered alive ever. Tenufa applies in every single application, as opposed to Masha Enkin B'smicha. Smicha only applies to karbanos that are alive, but doesn't apply to shchutim, doesn't apply to davar shein bo chayim. So these are the differences between tenufa and that of smicha. So the Gemara now in Tzadi Dalad, three lines down, tells us, quotes a Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches us, it says in the Pasuk, Karbano. This is the context of smicha. The whole Pasuk reads, V'samach yado al rosh karbano. So what do we learn from the word karbano? Karbano, the rabbis called mali karbon l'smicha. Then when it comes to karbon that's brought by shutvin, every member of the, every owner of the karbon has to do a smicha. It's not sufficient for just one of them to do it. Sheyacha, one may think, halo dinu, isn't it a kavachomer? Ma tenufa, shevich nisrabsa b'shchutim. That tenufa is more expansive. Tenufa applies in more cases. That even by a shechted animal, there's a concept of tenufa. And yet, nismatu b'chovrim. But you don't have to have everyone do tenufa. It's enough, sufficient to us to have one guy do tenufa. So smicha, shlonis rabs of shchutin, smicha which does not have that stringency. Smicha is very limited to only animals that are alive. So shouldn't it also be sufficient? Ain't no din should tismite. We should also limit who does the smicha, meaning only one person should do the smicha, no one else. So the pasuk says, Tamal Omar, karbono, the rabos kobali karbon l'smicha. There's an extra pasuk karbono, extra word in the pasuk karbono. It tells others, everyone needs to do the smicha. You're right, from the kal v'chomer, it would make sense that only one person does smicha, just like by tenufa. But the special Xerxer Kasov tells us, karbono, that everyone of the shutvin must do smicha. Then the Gemara asks a different kal v'chomer. V'tisra b'tenufa, b'chovrim b'kavachomer. So now that we establish that, maybe we should say by tenufa, every single shutif should do a tenufa also. It shouldn't be sufficient for just one to do tenufa on behalf of everyone else. And what's the kavachomer to suggest this? Mas micha shlonis rabsa b'shchutin, a smicha which is limited. We don't have smicha by animals that are shechted, but nisrabsa b'chovrim, what we have more, we increase the amount of people who do smicha. So tenufa shlonis rabsa b'shchutin, tenufa which is more applicable even by a shechted animal, so we have the idea of expanding tenufa more. Eino din shenis rabsa b'chovrin. So certainly, shouldn't we say that there should be more people doing tenufa as well, and every member of the shutvish should do a tenufa? Mishum de la'afsha. The reason why we don't have that din is because it's impossible. How is it impossible? Why can't we have multiple people doing tenufa? So the Gemara says, Hey Chili Abed, how would one accomplish this, the tenufa on behalf of everyone? Linfei kula b'chadei hadadei. If everyone does tenufa at the same time, all 10 partners or 2 partners, if they all do it at the same time, problem is, kahavye chatzita, there's going to be a chatzitza, because they can't hold it together. The part of the animal that's being held, it's going to be, you have to put one hand on top of the other person's hand, and in which case, it would be a chatzitza. So that can't work. So it can't be everyone at the same time. So maybe we could suggest, linaf v'lehad der linaf. Let guy number one tenufa, then passes to number two, then number three, and each person does it separate tenufa, and this way you could accomplish that. And the Gemara answers, because it says in the pasuk, tenufa amrachmana v'lo tenufos. Only one tenufa per animal. You can't do multiple tenufos. And since it's impossible in any other way, therefore it must be only one person does tenufa, as opposed to smicha, where every member of the shutvis needs to do a separate smicha. Varnal says, "Usmicha b'shchutin lesa." So we said above that smicha is only applicable on an animal while alive, but when shechted, there is no smicha. So why is that the case? Smicha b'shchutin lesa. We don't have smicha when the animal's already been shechted. V'atznan, doesn't the Mishnah teach us in Maseches Tamid? Bizman Shekoin Gadol wrote to Lahakdir with the din the Mishnah Yuma tells us that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to decide any day. Today I want to be makter the Rosh, I want to be makter the leg. He could decide any day what he wants to do. By all the other Kohanim, they have to do a whole lottery. Whoever gets picked gets to go. But the Kohen Gadol could always say, today, I'm in the mood to be Makter. So what happens if he decides that today he wants to be involved in the Hakravas HaKarbanos? So the Mishnah explains in Tamid, Bizman Sheh Kohen Gadol wrote to Lehakter, when he wants to be Makter, different Avarim of the Tamid, Hayaolo Bekevesh, would climb up the ramp, Vaskan Biyamino, his assistant would be to his right. Higil Lemachtz Kevesh would then reach the halfway up the ramp, Achaz Vaskan Biyamino, Veheleo, and then the assistant would help him hold on to his right side and assist him to climb the rest of the ramp. So then the first Kohen, who was supposed to be being Makri of the Rosh, when it came to the regular Talmud, they do a whole Agrola, like I said, the Kohen Hedyot, who was supposed to do the Rosh, but then after the Goral, the Kohen Gadol says, I want to do it today. So the Rishon, the first Kohen, who's holding the head of the Amnal of the Talmud, the Regel, on the leg of the Talmud, he somech alen, the Kohen Gadol places hands on the head, he places the hands on the leg, Vizarkan, and they throw it up onto the Mizbech. Then the next Kohen who's holding the different parts of the animal, Hasheni, the next Kohen who's holding Larishon, the second to the first guy, the second Kohen in order, who's holding Shei HaYadayim. He's holding two hands now of the Karban Tamid. He knows from the Kohen Gadol, gives it to the Kohen Gadol, and then he does a smicha, Yisomech Alein, he does a smicha on the hand, Bizarka, and they throw it onto the Marach on top of the Mizbech. Nishmar Hasheni v'halach lo, the second Kohen leaves, v'kach haya moshitin lo, shar kol evarim. Every single one of the evarim of the Tamid, they have the next Kohen bring it, there's a smicha, and they throw it on. So we see that Samech Alein v'zark, and each time, what he does a smicha on the shechted animal that's been cut up in different parts. Rotzehu Samech v'charim z'achem zarkin. Whatever the Kohen Gadol wants to do, he could be Samech on that aver, and then the Kohanim throw it up. So we see that there is a concept of smicha even on shchutim, to which the Gemara answers to finish off the parak here. Amar Abaye says, "Hasa mishum kvod to the Kohen Gadol." There, it's not really a din of smicha; it's to show kavod to the Kohen Gadol. In the end of the day, the Kohen Gadol is not even the one who's throwing it onto the maracha; he simply touches it, and then the other Kohen Hedyot throws it on top of the mizbech. So it's ki'ilu as if he's throwing it on top of the mizbech, but not really. It's not an Indian of smicha. This is an Indian of a kavod for the Kohen Gadol, and therefore has no bearing on the discussion of smicha being relevant for shchutim, because it's not. Smicha is only on animals b'chaim. Hajin alach shtei midos. Okay, now we begin the 11th parak. This is not yet the last parak. We have two more parakim after this. We're almost there. So the 11th parak begins, Shtei halachem niloshos achas achas. We're talking about now the baking of the bread. The shtei halachem were brought every single Chag Shavuos. So what happens is they bring the shtei halachem, but when you would need them, when the Kohanim would need them, niloshos achas achas, they'd be needed separately. They wouldn't put one big pile and then separate them. No, each set of Isarim would be needed, one here for one challah, and a separate needing of an Isarim for the second challah. That's when it came to the shtei challahs. And also, nefos achas achas, they'd be baked separately in the oven. You first put in one, take it out, then put in the second of the shtei challahs.
You put in two separate ovens at the same time?
I'm not sure if there were two separate ovens even. I don't know. Then the Mishnah says, lechem apanim, when it came to the baking of the lechem apanim, which we know there are 12 of them, niloshes achas achas, these two were kneaded separately, individually 12 separate challahs. And nefos shaim shaim, they were baked twice, two and couples and pairs at a time. So they put two in the oven, take out another two in the oven until they completed all baking 12 or all 12 lechem upon them. And then the Mishnah explained to B'defus, when it came to the shape that they place the pan that you place the lechem upon him in, they make it into some type of shape. We'll see the shape in just a moment. Ukshu Rodin, when you take it off, when you remove it from the oven, take it out of the oven, notice in the Devos they put it into a second pan, a second form, Kidei Shelo Yiskalku, so it shouldn't break. The matzahs, remember the challahs or lechem upon were very, very thin, so they could crack very easily. So you have to put it after it's been baked, it has to be placed in another pan to retain its shape and form, and this way it's not going to break. So we're going to explain these different pans in just a moment. So that's the Mishnah. So Gemara wants to know, Minani Mili, how do you know first, in terms of the first halacha in the Mishnah, that the shtei lechem were kneaded separately and baked separately? So the Gemara says, because we have by the lechem upon him as follows. The Tanur Rabbanan, it says, a braisa regarding lechem upon him, Shnei esrodim yeh hachala achas, milamed sheniloshos achas achas. That each of the challahs of lechem upon him were shnei esrodim large. So there's shnei esrodim per challah achas, which is telling us that you have to knead each challah of lechem upon him separately. So that's by lechem upon him. So how do you know minayin shaf shtei lechem kach, that the same halacha that the shtei challahs of Sheh Lechem of the Shavuos has to be kneaded separately. Tamalomar Yehiya, the word Yehiya as Eksha comes to include even the Sheh Chalos, the kneading is separate as well per Chalos. Uminayin shafiyasan mishtaim shtaim. How do you know when it came to the lechem upon him, they baked them in pairs? Tamalomer, it says, visamta osam, you place them, osam is plural, you place them in the oven, implying that two are baked at a time. So yacha, one may think, af sheh lechem kenu. One would think, maybe you should also have to bake the sheh lechem together in pairs. In fact, the psukim call them sheh lechem, so maybe you should bake them together in one oven at the same time. Tamalomer, osam. Osam means osam only when it comes to lechem upon him, only those have a din of being baked in pairs. But the other halachas, when it came to sheh lechem, did not have the din of osam. So Gemara said, how do you do that? Hi osam ha pikte. We already used that. The osam is telling us that we can only make one drasha per word. So osam tells us you bake lechem upon him as pairs. You can't use that same word osam to also exclude shtei lechem at the very same time. So you can't use one word for two different drashas. So Gemara says no. There are really two psukim to make two drashas here. Im kain, if it was only telling me one drasha that you should bake the lechem upon him in pairs, the pasuk should have said lemakra v'samtam. Instead of saying v'samta, it could have said v'samtam. The mem at the end implies multiple. Samtam would have implied you bake them in pairs. So why does it say my v'samta osam? Why do we separate the word samtam into samta osam? So that tells us shmas minatarti. We can learn two halachas. One halacha is that you bake lechem upon him in pairs. Halacha two is that it only applies to osam, only lechem upon him has the din of pairs, but not shtei lechem that does not have the din of being baked in pairs.
Well, this is asmachta, right? Because they used to already do it from way before this limudim, right? I mean, or how do you explain
that? No, many things that they did all the times in the Mishkan, we still have psukim and gzeres kasev and stuff.
But they
may not have needed to know these drashas, right, but the drashas are still there. They may know, but this is what we do. Why do we do this? Oh, because the pasuk says.
Okay. But,
so then the Gemara says, Taner, but in the Braisa tells us, v'samto, some. What does that mean? B'defus, you place them in the defus in a certain pan, lechem upon him. V'shlosha defusim hein. There are actually three different pans that were used for baking the lechem upon him. What were the three? Nosun the defus, v'adayin hi batzek. The first one, you place it into some type of pan when it was still a dough, where it was yet baked. That's the first thing, while you're busy preparing it. That's the defus rishon. Givmin defus hayala, b'taner. Then there's another one that was placed, the second one, when you wanted to bake it. One was preparing the dough, one was when you place it in the oven. So that was the second one. You place it after preparing the dough, you place it into a second defus, and you place that defus into an oven. And then kshiroda, when you remove it from the tanner, when you remove it from that second defus, nosa but defus, you put into a third pan, kidei shel tiskakel, so it shouldn't break because these are very thin matzahs. There's a machlokas Rashi Rambam about what material were these defusim, these pans made of. The Rambam holds that all three were made of gold. Rashi, however, writes in Al Torah that no, the first and third were gold, but the middle one was made of barzel. So Minchas Chinuch says, how does Rashi rather know that the middle one was made of barzel? He explains Rashi as misvara. Otherwise, it would ruin. It would ruin itself. I'm not sure it would melt, depending on how it would get, but it would certainly get ruined, the gold, by being in there, in which case Rashi says it must be that it has to be of bronze. How does he know this? Because we have Yom HaKippur, when it came to Kohen Gadol, when you scoop up the coals, even though everything else the Kohen Gadol would do on Yom Kippur would be made of gold, the pan used to scoop up the hot coals was made of bronze. Why? Because the gold would get ruined with the hot coals. So here as well, the Rashi felt that the gold would get ruined by in the oven. The Rambam, I guess, would hold that no, maybe the oven wasn't hot enough and wouldn't cause it to melt. I'm not sure of the details, but that is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Yeah, that's always back and forth. Chas Rachman al Torah, a Mamon Shal Yisrael, or you say Ein Anis B'Makom Ashiris. Fine. So then, apparently the Ramban writes that the third pan that you place the final baked product in, it would not be the same exact tefus, the same exact shape. He felt it was just some type of pan that would be able to keep the structure of it. But it wouldn't be the actual tefus of everything else. So I don't know how he knows this, but something that just has like walls on it to make sure it doesn't fall over and crumble. That was the Ramban shita. Okay, the Gemara now tells us at the very, very bottom of Amun Aleph here, now what exactly was the shape of these lechem aponim? So the Gemara explains that itmar is machlokis, lechem aponim, Kesed Osanol. So how would they actually form the lechem upon him? So Gemara explained, and there's some nice pictures here on the Rashis, and also if you have the Masiftas or the articles, they're even nicer pictures. The Gemara explains as follows. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kimin Teva Prutz. It was like an open box. It had a box, but it was missing the top and missing the sides. It was shaped that you see on the side, like Rashi has there on the article. That type of box was the shape, according to the first opinion. And the inside was a little flat part. It was shaped very boxy. According to the second opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kimin Svina Rokedes, a very fast-moving boat. Again, I'm not sure how it was fast-moving, but it had some type of curved bottom here, and it moved swiftly through the water. If you made a boat like this, okay, so Machlok is whether it was a box or whether it was a boat. So the Gemara explains to Mishma, this all makes a lot of sense, Laman Damar Kimin Teva Prut, so that it was a box. The way it works, we're going to get later on in the parak here, the bezichim, these little kalim that held the lavona, the frankincense, they were placed, according to at least one opinion that the Gemara says, it was placed inside the lechem upon him. So it makes sense if you hold those kamin pruta, tevas pruta, a box, the bezichim will lie very nicely on the flat part of the inside of the lechem upon him. But Elaman Damar, the one who holds Kimin Svina Rokedas, that it was a swift moving boat of some sort, how does it have room to fit? If it's curved here, I don't know the shape of the bezichin, but apparently the Gemara assumes you need a flat bottom to place the kalim on. But if it's curved like that, there's no room to place the kalim, the bezichin, in. So in which case, how do you understand that shita?
It seems like a spoon.
So the Gemara says, Mikmakum Avidlei, they made inside this boat, they made the bottom inside flat. So even though the initial picture seems it's all curved, they shaped in the center of it a flat spot there where you could place the bezichin in a very nice, comfortable way. So then the Gemara explains, Bishma, this all makes sense. Laman damar kimin tevas prut. If you think it was a box that was open, haynu dehave yosve kanim. The Gemara explains that they place these little rods on top of lechem panim, whereby if you place each chal on top of each other, they're going to crush each other, they're going to get stuck to each other. So you had a little rods in between them. So it makes sense they had three rods. So if you had three rods, it makes sense. In the prutza, if you have the pictures in the masifta or the articles, you have it also. It's very nice. There's plenty of space to put three rods on top of each of the lechem upon him. But Elaman Damar, the one who held it's Kamin Svina Rokedas, it's a boat-shaped type of bread. Kanim Hecha Havayasvi, there's no room to place it. So I think in the articles you have there, right, in the edge, it's going to fall right off. It's going to slip off. It's not enough width to hold the rods up. So how exactly would you accomplish putting the three rods on each of the pieces of bread? So Gemara explains in Murasha Avidle, at the end where it got pinched and very narrow, they actually extended the bread a little bit wider with the ability to hold the lechem upon it. I don't know if there's a picture in the article either.
Yeah,
for
there is.
It is, yeah?
Yeah, the bottom.
On the bottom. Okay, so at the end, they made it go wide a little bit, so it was able to hold each of the three rods. So again, the box was very easy. The box, you had a shape. When it came to the boat shape, you have to do a couple of adjustments. You have to make the inside flat, you have to spread out the outside corners. So that's how they work around these different opinions. Then the Gemara says it also makes sense. Bishma Laman Damar Kimin Teva Pruta. It makes sense if it was shaped like a box. Hainu Disamchele Snifin the Lechem. Along the sides, the walls of the Lechem upon him, they also, not only did they have rods in between, but they had little walls which are trying to hold up the Lechem upon him from crumbling over. So it makes sense that if you had the box, so the walls went nicely up against the sides of the Lechem upon him, if the Lechem upon him were shaped like a box. Again, hainu disamchele snifim lalechem, that these boards would be protecting the lechem upon him. Elalaman the damar kimin svina rokedes, who was shaped like a boat, hecha samchele snifim lalechem. How does it hold the lechem? There's no space. It's just against the edge of that circle, but nothing's holding it from the bottom. It could still kind of bend over. It could still move around. It's not really supporting this circle bottom, this boat shaped lechem. So Gemara explains the ogulei me'agil. The shape of the walls supporting on the side were not shaped like a wall. They actually had it was shaped like a semicircle where it was supporting it underneath. It curved where it supported underneath the boat-shaped lechem. I think you have a picture in yours, maybe. Not so much. Maybe I have in mine. The wall wasn't shaped. It went underneath it to curve and support it on the side and underneath these lechem upon it. Then the Gemara says. Bishma, it all makes sense. Lamanda, Merkimin, Svina, Rokedas, that it was shaped like a boat. The Hainu, the Ma'in, and Snifin. That's why you need the Snifin. That's why you needed the walls on the side to support it. Because otherwise it would just kind of fall over. I don't know, tumble over. But Lamanda, Merkimin, Teva, Pruta, if you held that it was shaped like a box, Sniffin Lomeli, why do you have to have any support on the side? It was shaped very nicely. It's not going to move anywhere. What's the need for the additional support of the walls on the side? And the Gemara explained, because Agav Yukra to Lechem Talach, because the weight, since all the Lechem Apanim were on top of each other, man, you had one Lechem Apanim here, three rods, a second one, three rods, and a third one, and you had six of them. Eventually, that's going to cause pressure, and the bottom ones are going to collapse on the side. So you have the walls on the side of each of the Lechem Apanim to give it support so it doesn't crush and have them collapse on the bottom. That was the need for the walls on the side. So then the Gemara says, Bishma, this all makes sense. The man and Dam are the one who holds Kimin Svina Roked. They said it was a shape like a boat. Sniffin Agave Shulchan Munachim. So when it came to where exactly were these walls hanging? What were they lying on? So if you imagine, let's work backwards for a second, then we're reading the Gemara. If the Lechem Panim were shaped like a box on top of the bottom of the Shulchan, imagine this is the... let's build a little Shulchan here for a second. Okay. Imagine this is the Shulchan here. So you have the box like that, the box-shaped lechem like this and that, and there's no space to put the walls on because the lechem panim takes up all the space here. So where are you going to put the wall? But if you hold it, it's a circle, so then you have over here, this is a circle like that, there's space over here underneath to support the walls. So if you hold it's a boat shape, there's a below the curve, there's an area where you can place a sniffin to hold, to lie on the table of the shulchan. But again, if you look inside now, El Man Damar, the one who holds is Kimin Teva Prutza. The shape of the Lechem Panim was a box, which means that the Lechem Panim took up all the space of the Shulchan on that first bottom shelf. So then, where we do Hecha Snif and Hecha Manachla, where's your space to put the supporting walls? There's no space on the Shulchan. Would you suggest, Ara Manachlu, we place the walls on the ground? That would be separate from the Shulchan. The Gemara seems it has to be connected to the Shulchan. It wouldn't be on the ground, these walls. Everyone's with me on the image that's being... should I say that again?
No, it's
good. Yeah, you got it? Yeah, okay. So Gemara says, in Enechanami was, Dama Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, Ledivre HaOmer, Kimin Snifa Rakadis, the one who holds that it was shaped like a boat, Svina Agave Shulcha Munachem. There was space underneath the boat shaped to bread to place the sniffin, that little curve to hold and support on the table. But according to the one, Ledivre HaOmer, Kimin Teva Prutz, if you held that it was shaped like a box, meaning there's no space on the Shulchan for the Snifin Taka were Agave Karka Munachem Enechanami, they were resting on the ground because there's no space on the Shulchan itself for it to rest. And the Gemara, let's finish off the daf now quickly. Gemara says, Kaman Azla, who is the following opinion like? Kaman Azla Hadamar, that which Rav Yehuda said. That the bread would support the sniffim, and the sniffim would support the bread. So what's going on here? So according to the one that held the boxes, so the sniffim were lying on the ground, and they were supporting the lechem. It was only going one direction where the wall was supporting the bread. The bread wasn't supporting the wall. The wall was being supported by the ground. But if you hold that was shaped like a boat, so that means the sniffin were right below the boat. It was being held by the bread. The bread's holding the sniffin in place. Because if you remove the bread, the sniffin will just fall right over. So you have the sniffin like that. The bread holds on to the sniffin. But the sniffin at the same time are also holding on to the bread. They're supporting each other when it's the shape like a boat. So that's what the Gemara says. This must hold like kimin sfina rokedes. If you assume that the bread was shaped like a boat, so the bread was, again, keeping the walls in place. At the same time, those walls were keeping the bread in place, in which case they were working in tandem with each other. And that's understanding of Rabbi Huda.
It wasn't issue to attach the sniffin to the walls, I assume.
Attached? Yes. No, the sniffin are the walls themselves. That's what the sniffin are, right?
The sniffin.